Welcome to the Help Club for Moms podcast. Each week we offer biblical encouragement and practical ideas to help you know the love of Jesus Christ more deeply and become the woman, wife, and mother you were created to be. We're so glad you're here. It's going to be a great day. Hello there, my friends. This is Deb Weekly. I'm so happy to welcome you to the Homeschooling with Heaven podcast. Today, we are so honored to interview Josh Osborne. He is an amazing homeschooling dad, and he was also homeschooled himself in the 80s, which, you know, I feel like it's a wild, wild west back then, right, Josh? Like, do you feel that's that right way about homeschooling?
100%.
Wild, wild west. You got to do that. That's so cool. Well, Josh, you're near Las Vegas right now. We're having I can't even imagine what your world is like there. Is it like, so you're right outside of Las Vegas. Is it deserty where you are?
Yeah, we live about 45 minutes outside of Las Vegas. So you go from obviously like entertainment capital of the world with everything you can imagine to just kind of a small cowboy town with lots of space. So we like it because we have obviously room to breathe, but obviously anything you need is close by, 45 minutes away. So for us, it's a good balance between having entertainment, but also lots of God's nature to explore as well. So it's a good balance.
I love that. I love Lake Havasu. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, Lake Havasu, there's some good lakes out here. There's a lot of beauty in the desert. People think of Nevada or Las Vegas, they just instantly see casinos and there's more to us than just that. There's some of the most beautiful places on earth, in my opinion, out here. And I'm very happy to be out here.
I love that. Okay, so tell us a little bit about you. Tell us about your wife, your kids.
So you want to start from like the early Wild West days of homeschooling?
I'd love to hear it.
So we started in 1986. Me and my family are Christians. So even back in those days, there's a lot of craziness happening. So the pressure to keep your kids safe and away from the nutty things happening in public schools was even taking place in the 80s. So my parents chose home education right away. So at kindergarten, I started homeschooling. And like you said, it was the Wild West. There wasn't a lot of people doing it. So you couldn't even go to a grocery store in the afternoon without, you know, three or four people stopping you and say, "Why aren't you in school, young man?" And nowadays, you say that, you know, to somebody and they all know somebody that's homeschooling, or maybe they're homeschooling themselves. So it's not looked down upon at all nowadays like it was back then. And it was a lot of pressure, obviously, because you kind of felt like you had to prove that you weren't some crazy family, you know, sheltering your kids. Because that really wasn't what it was about. It wasn't hiding me away from the world. It was more just protecting me and letting me have an education that would kind of focus on my interests, my passions in life, and not just throw me into a room with 30 other kids and hope for the best. My parents wanted to be a little bit more proactive. But as I got older, we kind of learned like we didn't have to recreate school in the classical sense in our home. We could kind of allow homeschooling to be whatever it needed to be. So I started off in kindergarten with an official classroom desk that my mom found in a garage sale. She wanted it to feel official. That went away after a couple of months, and we were doing just specifically a BECCA curriculum. I know a lot of homeschool parents have probably heard that name before, where the entire curriculum was done just through them. And we learned very quickly that the best kind of curriculum oftentimes is what we like to call a hodgepodge curriculum, where you find out which companies and publishers are good with each particular subject. That's the beauty of, say, homeschool conventions, is you can go and meet all these different wonderful companies and find out which ones will work best with your kids, depending on age and interest in that subject. So that's kind of what changed. We went from just doing traditional public school recreation inside my home to more just making homeschooling whatever it needed to be for me. And I felt like my education was, you know, dramatically improved by not following some cookie cutter type mold. I went with something that allowed me to discover who I was as a person, what I was interested in. And that led to obviously my future career in IT and computer technology.
I love that. And now you own your own computer store, which is super cool. And you've been in business 14 years.
Yeah. And I have to say that all happened because of homeschool conventions. We took our love of computer technology, and me and my folks would go to homeschool shows and actually sell software that I had created during my high school years of learning computer science. We would do seminars that would teach people to use this new thing called the internet in their home education. And after doing that for, say, probably about 9 or 10 years, we moved out here to Pahrump, Nevada, and a friend of mine had a conversation with me one time. He said, "Hey, I know you guys do these homeschool conventions in the summer, and it's great and you enjoy it, but why not have some sort of computer store here where you can take these software programs and, you know, computer systems that you're selling and sell them in the town that you live?" And at first I shot down the idea immediately. I said, "We do a lot of homeschool shows, you know, throughout the year. And when I come home, I just want to relax. We've been on the road for 4 or 5 months. We're exhausted." But he said, "You know what we should do? This is really nice, classy, kind of indoor swap meet where people sell like crafts and homemade food and stuff like that. Why don't you just go there? It's like $25 for the weekend. Just put up some of these computers that you sell at the homeschool shows there and see how it goes." So I did. And the very first weekend, I sold one computer and I was all disheartened. I said, "See, this is why we don't need to start a store here. See, this is the Lord telling us the system meant to be." But I felt this presence saying, "Keep trying, keep trying." He was speaking to me saying, "This, you're not done yet. Try it again." So each weekend, I noticed the numbers went up a little bit higher and higher. We were selling 2, then 3, then 10. Then during the holiday season, we were selling probably around 10 to 20 computers in a weekend. And what really kind of helped to see what to do was after the Christmas season had ended, typically retail just drops off. Everybody's sales plummet because no one's Christmas shopping anymore. Ours did not drop off. They climbed even higher in January than our numbers in December. So we realized this isn't some Christmas hype. This is basically our small little cowboy town saying they're ready for a full computer store. So we decided, let's not do the booth and a swap meet anymore. Let's go ahead and open up a regular computer retail and computer center in our own town. And we did. And 14 years later, we're still going strong. And we're really happy with what we're able to offer customers. And I take pride in being able to welcome people into our store and not look at them as dollar signs like a lot of these big corporations do. We see them as human beings and we talk to them and we explain computer technology in a way that makes sense. And a lot of our customers are seniors, so they don't really understand a lot of these technical words. So to bring them in and sell them a computer or teach them how to use one and explain it in their language works out really well. And people really appreciate that. And I think they support us and they recommend us to other people because we're not the norm, especially in 2024. Most corporations are becoming very faceless. You can't talk to a human being. Everything is AI or a robocall or doing everything through a website. That human interaction is lost. And we are not going in that direction. We're going the opposite and making it as much human interaction as possible. And I think that's kind of why we stand apart. I'm really proud of that.
And I bet you're so you were a kid, because I want to find out when you met your wife and your kids and why you homeschooled here. So then you were working the homeschool conferences. So you're saying that when you were in high school, you created software that you and your parents would go sell?
That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we had 3 or 4 programs that we made. The internet was very young at that time, and there wasn't a lot of filtering or family kind of safety programs out there. So we created a web browser that would only allow kids to go to educational websites. That was one of our very first ones. It was called the Homeschool Safety Browser. We came up with a lesson planner, computerized lesson planner, so people could, you know, program out their kids' weekly tasks all on a digital platform and print it out so their kids would have the assignments. We did one program that was a placement test. Kids could take the test and it would basically show their parents what grade levels they were placing in all the major subjects. So they knew kind of how to approach which subjects needed more work, which ones they were advanced in, and kind of gave them an overview. And then, I think those were the main three. We had 3 or 4 different programs, but those 3 were the ones that we really pushed. And we would do seminars and kind of explain how to use the programs.
I really love that.
A lot of fun.
So you were also in the wild, wild west of the internet and you guys met a need. Yeah. Because it was a huge deal back then. People didn't know what to do about the safety, you know, and kids and everything. And that's so cool that you guys did that at the conferences. And okay. So how did you meet your wife?
I met my wife when I first moved out here to the Las Vegas area through a young adults Bible study.
Oh,
and it was great because it was a college age group. And everybody that was there, they were not there to find their future spouse or to hook up or those types of things. They were there because they wanted to, you know, meet other kids that were going somewhere in life. And they wanted to make sure their relationship with Christ was strong. So that was the center of the whole, weekly meeting. And through that environment, there was actually quite a few marriages that took place that are still together today. And I met Christy through that. And it worked out really well. It was a godsend for sure at that point in my life.
So you're a solid Christian as a young man. How did your parents do that? Like, I know a lot of parents right now are thinking, how on earth are my children going to be Christians in today's world? And I know it wasn't perfect back then either. I mean, every generation has had their trouble, right? And so how do you feel like your parents, what did they do right in helping you to keep your faith?
I think for the most part, they were pretty just real and honest. And again, if I look back, I could probably say as a parent myself, maybe there's things I would have done differently than they did. But I also, I think the older I get, the more I realize that I need to have grace on the generations that came before me. Because it's hard for me. I can't imagine what it would have been like for them. You know, I have an advantage because I came from a home that was very stable, you know, with, you know, a husband and wife that stayed together and raised me the best they could. They did not. They both came from, you know, broken homes. And they didn't have that advantage. So the older I get, the more I realize that everybody's really trying their best. So I feel above all, honesty with your kids is so important. Because if I'm being honest, Christians do have the tendency of being a little cocky, you know. Thank God we're forgiven, you know, we have grace, but that doesn't mean that we're better than anybody else. We always have to exercise that humility and be approachable. And that needs to be a key in your parenting as well. I know you want to be a good example for your kids, but don't be afraid to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I can do better. When parents can convey that to their kids, it's going to make it easier for the kids to admit when they make mistakes as well. You know, kids are little mirrors of their parents, for better or for worse. You don't realize that, but as they're growing up, they're paying attention to a lot of what you're doing. And if you're walking around in sin, but also trying to pretend like you're perfect, kids are smart. They're going to pick up on that. So nobody's perfect. We know that. But be honest. Be real with your kids. When you struggle, when you have your doubts about your faith, be honest about all of it. And I think that's going to make your kids, you know, kind of understand the big picture when they're seeing it directly from mom and dad.
Yeah, especially the vulnerability piece, because, I mean, they're going to mess up too. Your kids are going to make mistakes too, and they need to have seen a real living, breathing, like what is Edith Shaver call it? I'm pretty sure it's her. She calls it a living, breathing laboratory of life. Like when your children are able, when your children watch you being real, when you mess up and you say, you know what, mom, I'm sorry, I just blew it today. I didn't mean to get so angry or whatever it is. And just being real authentic. And I feel like especially this generation now, they value authenticity more than just about anything. And yes. Especially the millennials and the, what are the ones that are right under the millennials, the younger ones, they're called the Gen Z.
And Gen Z, that's right.
Yeah. They value authenticity, and that is the way to their heart.
Yeah. And it's important for you to let your kids have their own faith. You know, there's a lot of kids that I grew up with that were taught a certain way, but they were never able to accept it for their own. They lived off their parents' faith. And then when they got on their own and they're their own person and they have their own plan moving forward, a lot of that stuff drops off because it was never their own. You know, they were just living off of mom and dad's ideas. And mom and dad basically taught them what to think, not how to think. Mm-hmm. So even at this point in my life, I'm 43 now. You know, me and my parents, we get along great. I love them to death. But there's certain things that we don't see eye to eye. And, you know, I've changed my mind and opinion on certain things that maybe they don't necessarily agree with, but at least I'm accepting that for myself. And I think that's really important. Kids have to not just be clones of their parents. They're going to be their own person, and they're going to have to stand on their own, because that's what happens eventually. You can't protect them and shelter them and keep them in your home forever. They're going to break free and they're going to spread their wings. And what happens when they spread their wings is really going to come down to, you know, what you taught them. Did you teach them everything to think, or did you teach them how to think where they can go out and survive on their own? That's huge. A lot of people miss that.
You know, one of my children, so we always prayed that our kids would get caught. And one of our children, now he was almost 21 for his, like he was in college. And he actually got an MIP, minor in possession of alcohol, and it wrecked him because he had one beer, and it wrecked him. And he was so sweet and so sorry. And you know what? He learned, and like we all learn. And I had to tell him whenever I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And so when I was 20, I actually had a DUI, and I told him, I said, you know, Jack, I had a DUI. That's much worse than an MIP. And, you know, but I was able to be honest with him and tell him, you know, I regretted getting that DUI and how dangerous it was. And I've always had a really honest relationship with my children. I don't want to say that. I haven't always, because there was a time when I was trying to be perfect, like trying to be a perfect Christian, because that's what I thought I was supposed right. to do. But then when I realized it was better for my children that I was just myself.
Yeah.
And not
your intentions are pure by wanting to be the best example you possibly can. But when you know in your heart that you're not, you're trying to come across that you are, that's very disingenuous, I feel. And again, kids are smart. Even when they're very young, they pick up on that energy, whether you realize it or not. So don't discount the fact that kids are going to be able to pick those things apart. So it's in your best interest, I feel, to be genuine right away, because they're probably going to figure it out. Anyway,
they're going to figure it out. And, you know, just being like, even my grandchildren, I feel like when I'm really, so my granddaughter broke this gift that was meant for me at her mother's house. She like my daughter had it waiting for me to come pick up at my house. This was just a couple of days ago. And she broke this glass part of the whole gift. It was in a frame. It was this beautiful thing. And her mom, of course, was really, she was like, oh my gosh. But then, you know, she didn't want her to feel bad. But I broke the next day a glass mirror in my bathroom. And I said to my granddaughter yesterday, I said, Aspen, look at this. I broke this mirror everywhere. And your mommy told me that you broke this one and I broke this one too. And she goes, I'm so sorry you broke that, Gigi. And we both broke the glass, you know, like she was saying it, like, I think it took because she knew it was mine. And I think it took a load off of her when she made a mistake, to know that, you know, Gigi did it too.
Yeah. We're all human. I don't have to feel bad. I can take this energy that maybe I'm feeling and turn it into a positive direction and just do better next time.
Yes. Yes. Oh man. Our emotions. Isn't that hard? Like figuring out where our emotions go when our kids are doing stuff. And oh man, it's such a test.
You know, I think emotion is tough for sure. I had two daughters, so there's a lot of emotion in our household. So I tried my best to explain that, you know, there's the logical brain and then you have your emotional brain. And your emotions and your heart are going to send you in the wrong direction if you use those to, you know, make decisions. You got to use your mind and go forward with that, because, you know, your heart will lead you straight every single time.
Yep. And it's so true.
Yeah, it was hard for them to understand that concept, but as they've gotten older, I think they've been able to experience how things improve when you just let those emotions kind of calm down, get a clear head, and make that life decision with your mind and not just your heart. I mean, combination of both is also good too, but at the end of the day, you gotta use your head for sure.
The girls' hormones are tough, let me tell you.
Okay. Oh, I know, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, I want to ask you a question. This one I've been wondering this whole time as we're sitting here. What did you do differently in your homeschooling with your two girls than when you were homeschooled?
Well, I think I had the jumpstart on not trying to recreate the typical classroom, because the first probably 2-3 years of my homeschooling, mom felt that pressure. And it was mainly due to the time that we were living in, to recreate a public school experience in our home. And I knew that was not the way to go. So day one with my girls, we knew that wasn't the way to go. I started asking a lot of questions and finding their interest and then gauging their education around those interests, because, you know, there's a lot of parts of homeschooling that is not a lot of fun. And some of those things you can't avoid. If your kid hates math, you still have to teach them math, because it's kind of essential to have those skills. But I just asked a lot of questions and paid attention to who they were as people, what motivated them, what made them happy, what made them sad, and just tried to tailor the education around that the best I could and make it a fun experience.
So how do you do that? So I want to know, because we go to homeschool shows and we see curriculum, we see all this stuff, but how do we tailor it around our children's giftings and talents? Because I'm I completely agree with you 100%. That's one of the beauties of homeschooling, is you can tailor it to each of your children. How did you do it?
Well, the advantage that we have now that we didn't have in the 80s was we have these things called homeschool conventions, where there are hundreds and hundreds of exhibitors that are offering all the subject you could possibly want. It's not just one company that offers science back like when, you know, I had to use the Becca. You had a Becca and Bob Jones. Those are the two companies. And you just had to make it work. Nowadays, you at least have these homeschool shows, or, you know, they do a lot of digital stuff online where you do like virtual conventions to be able to explore all the different options. And you just want to find out how your kid learns. Are they a hands-on learner? If they are, then say, for example, science, I'd recommend something where there's a lot of, you know, experimenting and letting your kids, you know, see, taste, and touch to understand science. Then you got these kids that are kind of more bookworms. They just want to sit there and read the information. So, you know, who's better than the parents to understand their kids, right? So when you go to these shows, knowing what you know about your kids, you got to basically use that as the power to pick out the correct curriculum. Fortunately, nowadays, you've got a lot of choices, and there's going to be some really good stuff out there. We didn't have that back then. It was a lot harder, if I'm being honest. It's so much easier now.
That's so cool. That is so cool. And how old are your girls now?
I have two girls that are 21 and 18. So one's already graduated. And then I got one that is a senior this year. Haley and Lily.
I love that. Okay. So we always like to know everyone's favorite scripture. What is your favorite scripture?
Favorite scripture? I mean, for us, being that, you know, a lot of the skill set that I learned, you know, with computers, my parents were really good at teaching me to find a way to utilize it, be creative for a purpose, not just learning, you know, information for the sake of knowing it, but have an outlet to be able to use it. So like with the software programming, I didn't just learn how to program. I learned to program with the goal of building something for homeschool families that would help them out. So I always felt like I would push forward and make plans and try to learn things, but then just allow the Lord to kind of guide and use it in the way that it needed to be. So for us, I think our favorite verse was Proverbs 16:9, which is, we make our plans, but the Lord directs our steps. So make your plans, push forward, you know, show God that you mean business. You got the effort and energy to make something happen, but also allow Him to kind of open and close the doors to get you to go in that the right direction. Always have those ears open.
I love that. That's so wise. That's a friend of mine says, it's our daily bread from God. We always need to be on the lookout for our daily bread, not tomorrow's bread because it hasn't been baked yet, and not yesterday's bread because it's moldy. It's today's bread.
Right. And
letting Him guide your steps. I love that that's your scripture, because that's such an appropriate scripture for a homeschooler, to let God guide your steps. You may have to stop something, right, that you're doing. God may be like, you need to stop that and start this other thing, or be flexible.
Yeah, I think there's anything wrong with being present in the moment. I know we're not supposed to live for the moment. We're supposed to live for eternity. But I feel there's some truth in, you know, paying attention to what's happening in front of you today. I think the Bible says, you know, tomorrow has enough worries of its own.
Yes.
And I feel, you know, especially in education with your kids, cherish those moments. Focus on soaking up, you know, those experiences that you're getting right now. Don't feel that, you know, when your kids are older and they gain more knowledge and education, that's when life is better and everybody will be happier. Just take each day, literally one day at a time, and, you know, experience everything that God has for you in those moments.
That's true. I would go back to homeschooling in a heartbeat. I would go back to those wintry days when the snow's falling and we have hot cocoa and I'm reading out loud to my children, and my daughter would be making glass jewelry as a high schooler with a little blowtorch at the table and safety glasses. And my son would be making robots at the table. And I would go back to those days in a second. I mean, it was hard when I was in it, right? Because you worry, there's so much to worry about, right? As a homeschooling mom, but I would go back in a heartbeat to those days.
Yep. I love the creativity of homeschooling, and absolutely. Yeah, I think about it all the time. I feel that's one thing we have to be careful of. And I see this with a guy that's made his living in, you know, IT and electronics and computer technology for years. But in a strong digital age, be careful how much of that becomes your kids' education, because a lot of education has become computerized or web-based. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but I feel like the computer should be an assistant teacher, not a substitute teacher. So, you know, don't always have the screen in front of their face, if at all possible. Let them go out and experience real life. Let them go outside. Let them scrape their knee. Let them get dirty. You know what I mean? And experience a real childhood, because I feel that's where real learning takes place, is in play, more than sitting there, you know, reading a textbook. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but some of the greatest memories I have as a kid being homeschooled were field trips and, you know, doing science experiments in the kitchen and those kind of things. Because kids are excited. They're not pushing away from education those moments, because to them it's fun, it's play. And that's where their brain is really retaining that information more so than maybe any other time. So digital is good to a point, but don't let it take over. That seems to be where, you know, society is going with AI and all these fears that everybody has. It wants to take over. And at this point, you know, let's use it where it benefits us, but keep it in moderation.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny. I'm glad you said that, Josh, because I honestly don't ever think about saying that, because with our children, we didn't have all that stuff. I mean, we did have some online classes through Apologia for Science, which I thanked God for those classes, but they met, and it was so new back then, but they met virtually over, I don't know what the platform was, but, and they learned, my kids did their science that way, and it was wonderful. But we didn't really do other, like, we didn't do that kind of other, like being in front of screens all the time. Like, to me, I don't even think about
it. Wasn't an option, really.
Huh?
And that's good. I'm kind of happy that I grew up in a generation that didn't even have that as an option. My girls came to me a couple years ago and they said, "You're really lucky that you grew up in the 80s. And I said, "Thank you." And I understood what they meant by that. They meant that at that time, you know, you were allowed to ride your bike, you know, miles away from the house without mom and dad having to worry.
Yes.
There wasn't this constant dependency on technology, and we were free. And nowadays, you really have to fight against that now. And I'm sure it comes from seeing documentaries or watching movies that are set in the 80s, and they see some of the cool kind of old school ways that we used to do things. But I understood what they were saying. Just because technology has improved doesn't mean everything is now better. In a lot of ways, it's not. You really have to find that balance. And as homeschool parents, fortunately, we have the ability to control that to some degree and keep it in moderation. If you are in a public school, everything pretty much has gone digital now, and, you know, for better, for worse. We'll see how that kind of plays out over the years to see if it really helps or not. But I feel there has to be a really important balance between all of that right now, especially nowadays.
I'm so glad you said that. That's so good to say that. Okay, I want to know your favorite marriage tip from a homeschool dad, right? Tell us your favorite marriage tip.
I would say just be nice to each other. I know that sounds so simple, but oftentimes I feel with all the craziness, especially for homeschool parents, you know, where oftentimes the dad is out working his 8 hours, mom is, you know, at home with the kids. And they come home, they're both stressed out from just a busy day. And oftentimes, I think they lack the ability just to show kindness and just start right from there. And it's amazing what you can build on when you just are nice to each other. It doesn't even really have to be some, you know, 10 steps to success. Just start at being kind. And I feel like the rest kind of builds on top of that. That should be the foundation. Just be nice to each other.
I love that. Be kind. That's so cool. Okay. Last question. What is your favorite parenting tip, like for homeschool families or just anybody in general? What's your favorite parenting tip?
Parenting tip will probably kind of reconnect to what I kind of mentioned earlier, but don't be afraid to say, "I'm sorry." Mm-hmm. When I talk to a lot of people my age, you know, late 30s, early 40s, and you talk to them about the issues they have with their parents, one of the kind of universal themes I hear is that the parents weren't really humble. You know, they were trying so hard to put on these airs of being in control, even though they clearly were not. Times were hard, but they never really apologized or said I was wrong. They weren't an example on what it's like to be meek and humble. And I don't know, I just feel like kids could use that. I feel it's like your kids are going to be able to come to you and apologize for their mistakes when they're seeing their example, their mom and dad being the first ones to admit, hey, you know what? I had a rough day at work and I could have been a lot nicer to you. Or mom saying, hey, I have 3 or 4 kids at home and I'm pulling my hair out trying to keep the house clean and, you know, cook meals and make sure everybody's, you know, doing the schoolwork. I'm sorry if I snapped at you. I'm sorry if I made a mistake in this particular area. Will you forgive me? And those are very strong words to little kids. Because remember, at the end of the day, they are little mirrors. They're going to copy you. And a lot of the traits that you show to them when you're their parents, they're going to continue on when they have their own kids. So it's very important to be humble and, you know, apologize when you're wrong.
That's so good. And you know what? As a grandma, you are going to want your children to be kind to their children, or it's just going to bother you so bad. But I watch my daughter and my son-in-law, and they're so patient with their kids. And it's just so sweet. And I feel like my son, he's super patient and authentic. And I feel like he's going to be a great dad someday. So Josh, can you tell our listeners how they can connect with you and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure. So through my experience with technology and software programming, we have a company called Great Computer Deals. We do a lot of homeschool conventions and we also sell online. Our website is homeschoollaptops.com. And basically what we like to sell on there are not the lower quality kind of what we'll call them Walmart level computers. And I'm not a Walmart hater, but unfortunately the trend with a lot of these stores now is to sell cheap and not necessarily good quality computers. And a lot of homeschool parents, they'll go and purchase a low quality computer because it fits their budget. And, you know, the 3 or 4 kids that are all sharing it for their home education kind of beat it up and doesn't survive. So what we do instead is we sell computers from companies like Apple or Dell or HP, but it's their corporate grade computers. And those are just made completely different. Better quality plastics, you know, the hinges are stronger. They can take a beating is basically what I'm getting at. So if you have kids at home that are young and they need a computer, I encourage you to check out our website. Again, that's homeschoollaptops.com for name brand computers that are discounted very cheaply, but they are good quality, corporate grade, and they will survive the damage that your kids will inevitably put them through.
It's so true. You know what? I love that you got homeschoollaptops.com. That just seems like that would be a website that would be worth $10,000 right now. Like you must have had it
a long time. Yeah, we've had it for probably well over 10 years. And yeah. Again, our company name is Great Computer Deal, but you want to give out a website that homeschool families are going to remember. And I thought homeschoollaptops.com was pretty easy. So we'll go with that one.
That's amazing. Okay, so moms, go check out homeschoollaptops.com and you can connect with Josh and you will get excellent customer service. This has been wonderful. Would you pray for our parents? Just anything the Lord leads you to pray.
Absolutely. Lord, we just come before you right now. And in this case, we thank you for technology. Mm-hmm. Because of technology, this conversation is making out to other people that maybe need to hear that right now. So we just pray that what we talked about today will be encouraging and refreshing to the folks that hear it. We thank you for the opportunity to share our experiences and let other people know some of the things that we did right and maybe some of the things we did wrong and help them in their journey. And we just pray that through your power and your Holy Spirit, that those words will make it to the ears that need to hear it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Josh. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. And thank you for being here with us today, sweet mom. We love you. We're praying for you. And we pray that today's broadcast and dad, we're praying for today's broadcast to be a blessing. And don't forget this summer in July 12th and 13th is the Homeschooling with Heaven Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And it's going to be a different homeschooling conference than anything. I mean, I don't know, there might be another one out there like this, but we are praying that every one of our moms encounters the Lord We have a two-day conference Friday night. We are all going to be worshiping and encountering the Lord through a contemplative journey where we go to different stations, and it's just you and the Lord and spending time with Him and just really having a moment to meet with Him in different areas of your life. And then Saturday, we're going to have more worship and more teaching and encouragement and instruction. And every person at the conference gets personal prayer time from one of our prayer, amazing prayer warriors. So we hope that you come. We're praying that it will be a soul-filling experience. Please go to our website at helpclubformoms.com for more information on the Homeschooling with Heaven conference coming this summer. We love you and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for supporting the Help Club for Moms podcast. We are so honored that you were able to join us for today's episode. For more information and resources about our supernatural mothering kits, visit our website, myhelpclubformoms.com. We are praying for you and your family, and we are always here to help encourage you to become the Christian woman, wife, and mother you were created to be.